Hello, everybody, and welcome to the brand new podcast, Overheroes Original, the Ohio podcast, the most original podcast in Ohio. Tonight, we have my guy, Trash Jams. Ow! The Trash Cans, as trash we cans. Like to call them.
What day is it? Doing? Just living life, man. You know, same shit every day, but it's not. I don't even know. It's just, you know, life in general, man.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
Can y'all hear me? Do I gotta talk louder? I talk like this on the regular, so. I might have to lean in. No mics.
Right, yeah. All right, so I really want to get into it, man. I know you're from Ohio.
Shout out, Ohio.
You're right, but you were originally born in Lorain?
I was born in Lorain, St. Joseph's Hospital before they closed. Are we live?
Yeah,
we are. Oh, shit. What up, people? I was born in St. Joseph's before they were closed down back in the 80s. And grew up out here for a little bit and then moved to Florida and then came back. So, I'm like two homes, but Ohio's home. This is home, I love it here.
Okay. And what year were you born? You were born in the early 90s, correct?
I wish, 86.
Oh, wow, look at that, yeah.
Little season.
Wow, I didn't know that. I thought it was OG out here, you know?
Appreciate it, but yeah.
But definitely has a lot of great music, man, so.
You as know. Well, by the way.
Oh, man.
But yeah.
Appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
But growing up out here in Lorain, what was it that really inspired you to start to do the music or to try to chase the passion? Like, what was going on around you?
Like, just growing up and, like, the shit I've seen, you know what I'm saying, in my life. Like, because I've always, like, loved music growing up before I even got into hip-hop and shit.
Right.
And, like, it wasn't just rap. It was, like, all different cultures. Growing up in a Hispanic household or whatever. And just, like, seeing the shit. And I've always thought about poetry and wanted to write lyrics. So that's how I started in, like, elementary school, just writing poems. And as I started listening to more hip-hop and, like...
Okay.
So, I started listening to, like, damn, I want to try that. So the next thing you know, my poetry ended up to, like, rap style. So
right.
Now I'm writing raps, you know what I'm saying?
Right. And you just kind of felt that coming from the heart? A feeling to get out and you could just put it on paper like that?
Mm-hmm. I used to always carry a notebook with me and everything, dog. My mom would try to throw my shit away. She'd be finding curse words and shit. She'd be getting mad as fuck.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What was the content like about early trap jams?
Man, I was like, just like on some like delinquent, badass kid rap shit, you know? So I was talking shit, you know what I mean? But I had fun with it, and then as I grew, and it, you know, it is what it is now. But my early stage of like rapping or whatever, like I was definitely trying to follow like the current state of hip hop and what I was seeing around me growing up.
Right.
You know, and try to imitate that or whatever.
Right. And did you see anybody in the local scene around that time having success, or what was like the scene like?
Shit. Before I left Ohio, I remember SOSC, and a group called Young Felons, and I forgot one of the dude's name, but he had like the last verse of the song, and he was spitting like bars, and it wasn't just like one word rhyming, it was like two words back, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
For like Kit Kat, Get Back, like, ooh. Like I was like growing up like two words.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I mean? And I was like, that was dope. And then I started listening to like Nas and a lot of East Coast rap and
right.
Studying how they was rapping before I learned the structures of rap, like bars and verses and shit. And
not to cut you off, but do you think Illmatic is Nas's best piece of work? Because there's been some current stuff in the headlines saying how
yes
he kind of
no.
Starting to hate that album.
I really liked Illmatic, but it's not my per se best Nas album.
What'd you think of the Distant Relatives album, the collab between
with
him and Damian Marley?
That shit was fire.
I
like it because I like Nas and I like Damian and I like reggae. And it just, I thought it was a dope collab.
Right.
I think Nostradamus might have been my favorite Nas album for real.
Oh, okay. All right.
Nostradamus, for sure.
I'm going to have to go with Illmatic, man, just because
I
you
like
know, the energy of it and the certain lines, the aesthetics, the whole project is, I feel like he just hasn't topped that, but I am a fan of him.
Right. Illmatic is a dope project, don't get me wrong. I can listen to it front to back. But I still feel like his other projects were slept on.
Yeah.
Street's Disciple was dope. Godson was dope.
Right.
There's a bunch. I love Nas. Nas is a legend. It's one of my inspirations, for sure.
Right.
Nasty.
Yeah, you know, and I feel like Big L coming out of New York be one of the other artists who, had he got his shine, like Big Pun, they only put out, what, an album or so a piece? Maybe two albums.
Big L was the shit.
Biggie, too, you know. Biggie only put out two projects, technically, living. Well, not even. I think he only seen the one album, and he passed right before Life After Death came out.
Right.
Which I'm a fan of Life After Death over Ready to Die. I mean, they're both great, but to me, they got that song with Bone Thugs, you know, Life coming from Cleveland Death on the was album. Like, it was just a
dope project. It was just more wide, more songs, more to pick at, you know what I mean? Ready to Die is just, it's hip-hop, but, like, it's just, it's two different concepts. It's different.
Right.
You know, and each one has its own place for what it's brought to hip-hop. But I definitely feel Life After Death is better off, of course.
Yeah, and it's sad that he never really got to see the success of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like Big. Big was dope.
Yeah, he's definitely someone who inspired me as a kid, you know, because he kind of had, like, he was lyrical, but he said it in a easy way for my young mind to comprehend and for me to be like, okay, and to vibe with that over a lot of other music, you know?
I grew up around Tupac, too, man.
Yeah?
Tupac was one of my favorites. I used to do book reports and shit at school. And I remember one year we did a book report and we had to pick whatever it was, and I chose Tupac as my biography, and it was around the time of the Titty and the Time album, and I took one of the instrumentals and dropped a little verse on that shit and everything.
Okay.
For the class, and everybody loved it, and inspiration.
Pac. So was Pac somebody who, growing up in the home, your family listened to? Did you discover Tupac on your own?
Yeah, my mom used to always play Tupac too. She loved Pac. Everybody loved Pac.
Yeah.
For the people, man.
Right, for sure. Especially coming out of poverty. Yeah. There's a lot of things that happen within poverty that I think Tupac listening to it can definitely relate to. There's a lot of content there.
Yeah.
You know, I know growing up in my house, you know, my mom listened to Tupac, Bone Thugs, Prince, Motley Crue.
Yes, I love
you know, it was a lot of. It was a lot of 80s style and a lot of older stuff. So, is that typically what your family grew up on?
Like
is that
what you grew up on? Just hip-hop? We listened to, freestyle music, Spanish freestyle dance, fucking salsa, merengue, everything. Mark Anthony, whatever you can think of. Because we're, Hispanic culture. So,
right.
My mom always, she listened to jazz, Kenny G, just a little bit of everything. So, I grew up getting all that. You know what I'm saying? And then just growing up, different parts of my family and the music they listen to, you know, exposing me to more genres of music, like rock, heavy metal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I grew up on all of it.
So you grew up on a little bit of everything, huh?
For sure.
You know, I think here in the Midwest, being from Ohio and kind of being in the middle of the map,
yeah,
we're not out of touch. We're kind of in touch with everything.
It's because we're but we're different too, though. The whole Midwest is compared to the South or New York, our whole vibe and our style of music.
Well, even looking at Bone Thugs, you know, a lot of their beats were West Coast sounding beats. But if you listen to the flows, it kind of has a dirty South.
It's
a dirty South feel, but it's still original. You know what I mean?
Bone definitely were trendsetters, still are.
Right.
Very relevant.
Yeah. I actually got to do a show with Busy Bone. And
how was that?
It was amazing. It was amazing, man. The crowd was amazing.
Busy. Yeah, that's dope.
Shout out to Chris Stark from the Odeon, man. Chris is my guy.
Shout out Busy Bone, too.
Yeah, shout out Busy Bone and the Bone Thugs, man.
I thought that was dope with the whole situation with the Japanese dude coming over here.
Right, and they helped him get back. Hey, man, the dude said that he wasn't trying to go. He was trying to be a rabbit.
Man, Jeff, why are you going back?
He said, I sold everything, man. I got
it.
But still, you know, it is pretty wild that he sold everything, flew over
That's
here,
dope.
Thinking that they still lived on St. Clair in Cleveland. You know, it's been 20 years, you know, they're on to better things. So, but I know you've been doing music from a young age. What age did you actually record?
I actually have a few songs from my early recording still floating on the internet. Okay. But 2000, about 05, 06 is when I started rapping. In the booth and recording shit, not professional, but you know, growing up and
just at someone's house,
jump in the booth, the closet with the blanket, the microphone in the box with the styrofoam inside that shit,
right,
on Audacity, the first version of shit,
just having that ambition to do it and wanting to do it.
Man, we was getting it too. I was 19, And my dude's mom was always like getting us liquor and shit. So like we be in that bitch turned up in the booth, sweating our asses off, dog, just rapping and freestyling. And then like he had like a bootleg computer, so every 30 days he had to reboot his shit. So if we ain't finished the song, they were gone.
Oh man. And but how old were you?
Oh, like 19.
Like 19? Yeah. And what, that was just like a friend's house you would go and make music with?
One of my dudes that was trying to actually put a little thing together on the side.
Okay. So, out of your first recordings, what was your favorite line, or is there anything that stuck out to you in one of your earlier verses?
I'm like my freestyles were a lot more... Like, just the way I used to rap then and now was just completely different. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was the whole Dipset Cassidy era. So I was trying to rap like that with the style. But, like, one of my first, like, it wasn't even recorded. It's something I remember from when I was, like, 14 I wrote. And some corny shit, like, guess who's back now, toting the gas style, smoking the black mod, I blow your back out. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Ooh, like, right, yeah.
And I'm like looking back, I was like, damn, I said some shit like that. Like that was corny, but it was tight, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I always knew it had like a passion for like, just like lyrics and...
And just having an urge to like get it out there.
Yeah, for sure.
You know me, I think I started writing because growing up, having a speech impediment and being born with a cleft lip, I feel like, you know, when I said something, maybe I wasn't speaking too loud or people couldn't really understand me off rip. Mm-hmm. So I felt like it was just easier instead of trying to talk to someone to just write it out into words, how I was feeling, because I didn't have to worry about none of that, trying to open up to someone.
Right.
I could just write it out, you know.
That's so, how I feel too, though. Like, because like, I can conversate with somebody, but for the most part, I'd rather just not talk to nobody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather express through my music, my emotions and how I feel. Cause most of the time, like, man, like, especially like if I'm like a relationship or something, and I can't explain it or trying to talk to a family member, so like I'll just like put it in a song and then here, listen, this is how I feel or whatever. Like that's how I express myself. You know what I'm saying? Or just like if I'm angry, you know what I'm saying? Like trying to talk it out. Like that's my way of venting.
Right.
When people are like, talk to me for what? Go do this music and get it off my chest. That's me.
Right. Also, you know, trying to open up to somebody, you don't know what they have going on.
Right.
So you try to take that into consideration. Like, I don't want to dump my problems on this person because I know
they're going to be. And on top of that, like, are they generally wanting to give me some advice or they just want to use it against me in the future or something? Like,
exactly. People have hidden agendas.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you know.
Hi, we cool. Just, you know, I don't feel like talking. I'm all
right,
though.
Right.
Thanks for concern. But, yeah, music is my vent. Yeah.
So when it came to it, who would you say inspired you to take like that first step?
At that time, like all kinds of hip hop influenced me, not just New York, like South,
right?
Like Scarface and UGK or Trick Daddy and Outkast and stuff like I listened to everything. West Coast, No Limit, Cash Money, old shit. But I think honestly, what made me start get that push was when that whole Dipset thing started happening, like that whole with Jay-Z signing.
Yeah.
Like when Cam first came back, I was like, okay, I want to start rapping like seriously, because like I fucked with their style.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
yeah, man, I think Dipset's one of the most hardest groups that came out of the early 2000s on the East Coast, for sure. You know,
like I liked their run, you know what I'm saying, and everybody that did Hell No Team was dope, but for the most part they were all like the same.
Right, yeah, but they were just killing it in different ways.
So, and then Max came.
Oh, Max B?
Free the Wave, yeah.
Oh, man, Free Max B. Yeah,
Max B. That's another one of my
influences. Silver Surfer, yeah. You know? So, who inspired you? Who would you say inspired you to take that first step to really want to write music? Do you think it would be you? Or was there anyone who like you maybe seen doing it who got inspired by it to pick up on it?
For real, man, like, it was another rapper, dude, and he wasn't even famous, it was just someone I met. I was, like, around 14, 15, I just moved to Florida, and we just moved into these little apartments, projects, and I'm outside with my dude, and I'm reading my rhyme off the paper, and he pulls up on us, like, hey, Jake, let me holler at you. I'm like, who, me? He's like, yeah, let me holler at you, bro. I'm like,
what's up? He goes, what's on that paper? He's like, what you rapping? I'm like, no. I was like, come on, you ain't got a lot to tell me, bro. I'm like, yeah. He's like, let me hear it. And he's like, I was like, no, I'm not done. He's like, oh. He's like, all right, I'll tell you what I do. He's like, you see this house over here in the corner? He pointed where he lived at. He's like, when you ready, you come knock on my door. If you see the car there, come knock on my door. 2 days later, I go over there. I rap for him. He's like, okay. I fuck with it. And he gave me some beats. And at the time, I thought they were dope. And he was like my inspiration. Like, nigga, you dope. And I was like 14. You know, and I used to get a lot of hate just because I was Puerto Rican or light skinned or whatever you want to call it. Cause right. Like, it was like, it's more like racially profiled in a sense, you know, and me being a Hispanic or whatever, I get a lot of hate, especially if they felt like I was better than them.
Do you know what's crazy? Is I feel like rapping and coming up, I've had more hate from white people than I have black people or Hispanic people or any other kind. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And I always thought that was crazy, but yeah. I think it was always different to people because, you know, growing up, I wasn't your typical, I didn't dress like the suburban, mm-hmm. quote-unquote, white kid. Right. You know what I mean?
I can blend in with all types of crowds, man. It's just crazy, like, some of the shit you see growing up and, like, the way people act towards you, whatever, and, like, with the rapping and shit. Like, I'd get in ciphers or whatever, whether it's in school, battling, and or being locked up and fucking joining ciphers and shit. Like, everybody be hating because I'm light-skinned. Like, nah, you ain't rapping. Like, and then they like, you dope, you know what I'm saying? And it just depends on where you're at. Like, I get love, but it's more love than I do get hate. And yeah. The more love I was receiving, it just made me more confident. But that was the moment that made me say, fuck it, I want to rap.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what really pushed you to really, like, put it down mm-hmm. and start trying to chase it.
And then when we were talking about it, he was like, you know what I'm saying? You got flow, like, you know what I'm saying? If you make it, man, you got your mom, your brothers and sisters. You know what I'm saying? Take care of them or whatever. So, like, that was the original goal for real. Like, getting, trying to make it and trying to put on for my family and shit and take care of them.
Yeah, for sure. Trying to build that income and leave them with something. That's the whole plan of it, man. Is trying to just build something for them, you know?
And then get older and you realize who really are family, I guess.
Right, yeah, because blood really don't matter. I got people that I'm close to.
I learned that growing up. I love my family, though.
Oh, for sure.
I'm fine by myself. I've always been by myself, like, you know?
A
lot of people know me. I know a lot of people. But for the most part, like, I've grown up. I'm not out there wilding. You know, so I be chilling and I stay to myself. You might see me out and about every now and then, make do a show. You might see me at a bar. You might see me at the store. But for the most part, I'm just chilling. I don't fuck with nobody, man. I'm just trying to get this music and have everybody mad at me about they bitch or something.
Speaking of which, me and you just put out a song.
Sure did.
Called Death, and it's going to be available, here in a few days, probably on all streaming.
For sure.
Don Cooch did put it on the SoundCloud.
I got it up too, by the way.
Trap has it up as well. Yeah. I actually lost my grandmother Friday, November 1st.
Condolences again to that.
And it was kind of crazy that it was sudden. You know, she wasn't terminally ill with nothing. And our song Death was supposed to drop a day before this had happened. And I'm actually happy that something happened with the distribution and it didn't drop, because I would feel too weird sharing a song like that when I just had the loss of my grandmother. So I'm kind of glad that it's given a little bit of time to air out and we can put that out in a later date.
Great, amazing song. Just the timing is like...
It was crazy, right?
Nobody expects it like that, man.
Right. And the song's not wishing death upon no one. When Trap talks about wishing death on all his friends and enemies. All of them.
Because they're going to eventually envy me, you know. But it's just life, you know. But yeah, man, that shit sucks, bro. I still have my grandparents and my parents, you know what I'm saying? We ain't always had the closest relationship growing up, but I love them, and I'm scared fucking when that day comes, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what's going to happen to me.
Right. And what's crazy, you know, is I lost my mom. My mom had stage 3 cancer, fought with it for three and a half years, went into readmission for 7 months out of it. So, I mean, that was a long battle of never knowing. It was really, really up and down. And when it came back quick.
Yeah.
You know, within 2 months of it being back is when it took it. So, I mean, it's definitely heavy. Right, and I was only 22 at the time. But, you know, I'll tell you what, like, going through stuff like that has all just made me a little stronger, you know, and kind of made me a little more wiser on how to deal with pain and emotions and understand it.
Right.
So maybe if someone don't, you know, they try to talk to me, I'm able to help them a little more with it. You know?
Yeah, that shit, like...
But speaking of that, like, speaking of death and traumatic things happening and people like ourselves being in traumatic situations, almost having, like, slight PTSD from certain life situations that that we've been through. And more than just us, I'm sure a lot of people have been through traumatic situations.
Yeah,
some, you know,
more, some less.
But a lot of people, it seems like lately, are trying to cash in on the whole mental health concept. People with, like, it's like a fake deep type. You know what I mean? Like, people with faking, like, being depressed, or they're just trying to, like, exploit it.
You know what's crazy, though? Because I remember when I first started rapping, like, even though I was rapping about, like, street shit or whatever, like, I always, like, had, like, depression and anxiety, and I used to write a lot of songs about dark shit and, like, just being, like, sad and, like, you know what I'm saying?
Same,
like,
what, yeah,
like, the
yeah.
wave that's going on right now, and everybody's like, bro, why you rapping that sad shit? Like, nigga, why you hating? Like,
right.
That's how I'm feeling. So I was uncomfortable about it, and then I look at it now, I'm like, what ain't that about a bitch?
Right. Because a lot of people now are jumping onto it.
And, like...
trying to capitalize off of it, but they may not... It's like a... It could be exaggerated. Like, it's not as authentic.
I agree with that, too. I was in a situation recently where an individual has anxiety, depression, and all that. And it's obviously seeing that he does have the problem, but they... In my opinion, would like take advantage of it,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, and just like using it as far as like, oh, like a handicap in life, like my arms and my legs is broken, so I can't go to work. Type anxiety, like it's crazy.
Yeah, and yeah.
Like it's a real thing, and it's, you know, sucks when people don't believe it and when people take advantage of it.
I feel like I almost have like a certain social setting. Anxieties, like I don't mind hanging out with people or nothing like that, but sometimes like it's hard for me to go out to a really packed place. Like if I'm performing, that's different because I can kind of get away, but like it's hard for me to go out to a really really packed bar because I just feel like it's too much, you know what I mean? And I don't know who's gonna be there, what their agendas are, and what they're aiming to do. So I get, like, really bad anxiety about putting myself in a situation.
And everybody drinking and shit.
Yeah, and but it's because in my life, I've been through traumatic situations of people, of being in that setting and it going wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've been in some shit myself, you know, and, like, I don't mind hanging out and shit like that, like I said, but if I go out, I mean, just grab a bottle and kick it.
Exactly.
Grid, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
A bunch of people that you fuck with, you know, because, like, if you ain't out there, like, to me, like, all that kicking and shit's over with. If you ain't out there trying to, like, do shows and trying to prosper in something in that field, that's me. Like,
exactly, yeah.
If you see me out there, I'm trying to network. I'm not going to bars no more just to go to bars and, you know what I'm saying, fuck all that shit.
Right. I mean, sometimes, man, it's
fun.
Cool,
like,
but
I do
got
it. Like, I'll go,
like,
but for the
weekend.
Most part, I'm over it. Like, anyone's like, you want to go, let's turn up. Nah, we turn up at the crib too. It's cheaper.
Plus, you're like going to the bar. It's hard to hear. You're like yelling what you want to drink.
And then
like,
someone pop in you don't like or something. But like,
it's just
always
a bad vibe.
Something.
Right.
It's
like,
always something.
Right, exactly.
Like,
speaking of which, if you guys want to go out, I guess it's a fact. The day before Thanksgiving is the busiest drinking day. That's when everyone drinks the most,
well, let's
I guess.
Go.
And on that day, that Wednesday, the 27th of November, coming up in a few weeks, I will be in Cleveland at the Odeon performing with Cleveland's own Chip the Ripper.
Chip the Ripper, y'all.
Tickets are $17. You can get those on links on my Instagram or social media.
At?
A-Y-E, Slagle, A Slagle, on all social media. You can get at Trap Jams at...
Trap Jams with a Z, TRAFFJAMZ. And they be like, why Z? Because they be sleeping on me.
Big Z at that.
Big Z. All caps.
All caps.
All caps.
So what are you feeling, man? Are there any movies? Anyone drop a new album you like?
I mean, I'm spontaneous. I prefer music over TV, of course, but
same.
I just caught the that new It was pretty dope, and that scary story is the tale of the dark movie. That shit was pretty dope. I like scary shit. Comedies. But those are the two recent movies that I seen that I was really expecting. And
I haven't seen Joker yet. I haven't wanted to see the new It. I didn't see Toy Story 4 too.
Man. Oh, that's right. That's one of my shit. That whole franchise is dope. I love Toy Story, bro.
Right.
Classic. Yeah.
Classic.
All three of them shits. And then, I haven't seen 4 though. I'm ready. I forgot about that.
I heard it was good. I heard it was just as good as the third one, and I actually really liked the third one. I think they're all good for different reasons. Mm-hmm. Of course, I think the first one's the best, because it's original. It's the first one, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, sometimes the sequels can be better than the first, but I think for the majority...
They kept it going.
Yeah.
Momentum was definitely there all the way through.
Right. Are there any new albums, man? Because I know you listen to a variety of things. A lot of music's been dropping.
As far as like a full project, I can't say for sure. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm always, like, I listen to everything. It's just, like, if it's hot, I fucks with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm more into paying attention for real, like, the local shit now.
Right. Who do you think is buzzing out here locally?
There's a few people that I feel are doing their thing, and if I don't say nobody's name, it's not intentional.
Top three?
I mean, for real, I'd have to say you, Fax, and... Then the third one's a little toss up for real, because there's a few cats out there really doing it, you know. I can't put a third one out there at this moment.
Man, you got Mattomatic, you got Mo's
out, because there's a bunch of them. Right. I can't specifically just pick out three.
But that's just how.
But like when you talking about like artists that are like traveling and doing things, you know what I'm saying? That's like outside of the state. Like it's really not as many like doing shit like. You know what I'm saying? UFACS, Mo's starting to get his name, you know what I'm saying? And he's been around for a while.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see him perform out of state and shit now. I seen Sloth go out to PA not too long ago. But, there's a lot of us, but...
And that's just on the hip-hop side. You got people like Ray. Shout out to Ray Anderson. He makes really cool music. Well, I think Ray is one of the best composers out here.
Dope. Ray's amazing.
Ray's amazing. Yeah, shout out to Asa. Shout out to Ty the Youth.
The whole Us vs. Them.
Shout out Us vs. Them. Shout out Tracy, Tyler's cousin.
Oh, yeah, TJ's dope as fuck.
Man,
yeah.
Everybody I think who we are involved with, like the whole team, man, is really dope. We all bring something different to the table.
For sure. And there's a lot of talent out here, you know what I'm saying? But, like, we definitely got a little unique blend, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I fucks with who we all got around us, too. You know what I mean?
You know, we were talking about doing, like, a Christmas show, how we do the Finding Comfort show.
Yeah.
We were talking about setting up, like, a Christmas show and a giveaway and having people, like...
Like a
people bring toys to get in and we just give them all away and we donate
and
all...
like, canned goods and shit or
right.
Something.
Well, probably not canned goods, but just toys.
No, like, it's Christmas, we could do a food drive.
Yeah, for sure.
The more the merrier,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, that's true, man. For sure. But we were just trying to do something for the kids trying to get back, man. So, but got a lot of things coming. Probably some more details on that later.
Mm-hmm. Christmas, that's like right around the corner.
Yeah, Christmas is coming up quick, man. This year went by really fast. Yeah,
got a few things popping November, December, sometime 2020. Man, it's gonna be a bigger year.
Are you going to South by Southwest?
I'm interested in it. We gotta definitely figure something out. I haven't like heard much into it, but I do want to go.
Well, I'm trying to get accepted. So if I end up going, we could probably go.
It's too late to put the entry, huh?
I don't know. I'm not sure when the cutoff date was. It might have been...
I be getting emails for, like, that, coast to coast, and, you know what I'm saying, stuff for shows, and, like, submitting the bread, but I don't, like...
Coast to coast is a little sketchy.
If I had it, I'd put it up, but, like, I don't know how that shit gonna turn out, like...
At least it was a couple years ago.
Getting jerked around and... Or whatever, you know what I'm saying, just bad promotion or whatever. Like, you investing in something and it doesn't come back in your favor.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You lose.
Right.
Like, who am I sending my money to? Like, you know what I'm saying? It says you're a big company, but at the same time, it's the odds of, I don't know.
I'm actually doing it.
Yeah, you got a name. I'm a potential artist with a little something kind of buzz. And
right.
You know?
Well, I know you've also been through a lot, man. You also got locked up for a little while.
Yeah.
And it's been how long?
What's today? 2013? No, damn.
What?
Yeah, I got out 2013, my bad.
Okay, so it's been 6 years?
About 6 years now, yeah.
Okay, and how long did you do? How long did you go down for?
7 years.
7 years? And you were how old?
Just turning 20.
Wow, just turning 20, man?
I was young.
Gone. What exactly happened? Could you give us, like, a light story?
I mean, like, long story short, you know what I'm saying? I was violent, doing my thing, selling a little bit of drugs and shit, trying to, you know what I'm saying, just get by and whatever. Nothing, no big kingpin shit, but I know how to hustle, you know, and I met this chick, and she was getting money, and next thing you know, it was just like, let's go do it, you know what I'm saying? And we moving, chasing, whatever, and we took a loss. I'm not going to get into too much details, and now we're broke.
Okay.
So now we start robbing shit, and then it wasn't her involved, and me and my dudes was hitting a few licks, whatever.
Right.
And then she happened to be by one day, and we go to talking about it. She's like, "You, I don't use my car, and I know a spot where you can get, like, this much bread." Mm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, shit, we already thirsty.
So she just had, like, a plan, and you were like, all right.
Yeah, we was already thirsty at this point, you know what I'm saying? So, set everything up, hit the lick, got away, so we thought. Fucking, like, a week later, I'm gone, and that's the end of it.
What exactly did you go down for? Like, why did you have to do the full 7 years?
Robbery with a firearm. Fucking, me and a friend of mine, my nigga, too, like, to this day, like, after I did my, like, I got locked up, you know what I'm saying? He, took care of my kid and everything for me.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? And, he wasn't even my real co-defender on top of it. It's just the way shit fell together, you know?
Right.
So we hit the lick, got away. We go back to the apartment. Cops are, like, coming from everywhere. You know what I'm saying? We sitting them at the little corner store parked over there. We pay them money. We'll go in the apartment and divvy up the money. Everybody go their separate way. About 20 minutes later, get knocked on the door. Doo-doo. Nobody answered because we all spooked. But right. A few minutes go to the door, they gone. I see a car leaving. What the fuck? So now, like, yo, we got to go. She go jump on the computer at one point of the night, and he's already locked. His name popped up as he locked up and shit. So I'm like, God damn. You know what I'm saying? And she's spazzing out like, oh, the nigga. Trying to basically, like, throw dirt on my thug name. Like, oh, he told. Like, man, bitch, he ain't told. We done did licks that nobody know about to this day. Like, you know what I'm saying? He got stabbed over the shit. And then the other dude that was with his mama house got shot up.
Oh,
you know
shit.
What I'm saying? And looking back at it now, I'm like, damn, I got brothers and sisters and shit and my mom. And I was wildin', bro.
Yeah, for sure.
So, she over there pointing. I'm like, bitch, shut up. You know what I'm saying? So, couple days go by, you know what I'm saying? He ain't getting out. I go to work, thinking everything's all sweet. Got set up, go to jail.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? And when everything all came down to it, the bitch folded and let them into the apartment and run up in the shit and supposedly found evidence towards the shit that just happened that they were looking for me for. And she called me on the phone talking about, yo, did you leave a gun and all this other shit? And I'm like, click. You know what I'm saying? Like, she called me up. Why you know that, bitch? What is you talking about? I don't know none of that. You don't know what you're talking about. You tripping. And she's like, well, the cops just came up in here. And I'm like, well, why'd you let them in? Like, why would you let any cops in your house anyway?
Right.
She's like, I don't know. I was scared. I'm like, so I go fucking work, go to jail. That shit. That whole shit, just the way it happened, was fucked up, you know what I'm saying? Because my dude was like, yo, man, you coming to work with short staff. And then my niggas, too, that I was rapping with at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we was buzzing, like, we dropped a single, had the hood, like, yo, this shit's fire. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit like that. And I'm like, these are my niggas. Like, I trusted them, like, I thought they were my boys at that point. And so I get up there, and I felt that, like, man, something ain't right. I looked down, like, bro, something ain't right. Though not even 10, 15 minutes later, this bitch come running from the back. Sherry, the detectives are here and there's like 20 cop cars. I was like, what the fuck?
Oh.
I looked at this nigga, I was like, I fucking knew it, bro. He goes, man, bro, I was like, dog. I was like, nah, I gotta go.
That's wild.
And then the Wendy's is like, I was working at Wendy's at the time.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, nice.
Austin just looks over like, what? Trap said he works at Wendy's. Traps also
I was working at Wendy's when this shit happened.
So you just looked over.
Oh, shit. That shit had me dying. I was like, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm like trying to get up out of there or whatever. And so I'm walking through the front. Like, here's the front register and all this shit. And then you got the doors on each side to come in. And there's like one, two, one over here. And I'm here, you got the one on the side, and then the same over here. Nigga, by the time I got out of this little door from the back where the registers is at, bro, and there was a swarming in there, so I had no choice but to go this way and hide in the bathroom.
Oh, shit. So you hid in the bathroom?
Like, I have an hour. I ain't got nowhere to go. I'm stuck.
Put him in the bathroom.
Yeah, it got me stuck in the sitter, bro. And on top of it, it was the girls' bathroom.
Oh, man.
So I'm like, man, this can't get no worse. I had long hair at the time, too. So I'm in that bitch for like a half an hour stuck, bro. I thought about going through the roof, you know what I'm saying? And then like,
the roof?
Yeah, cause in the, you know, like, in the ceiling they got the little push up. Yeah, I was like 19 though, so I'm like, I got this. As soon as I go up there, I'm looking around like, where the fuck I'm gonna foot myself? I'm gonna die. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, fuck, that's over with. I'm just gonna have to wear this one. So I'm sitting down there waiting. Half an hour-ish go by, and next thing I can hear the walkie-talkies in the background. I'm like, oh, it's about that time. And they come in. And they're like, who's in here? Is anybody in here? I'm like, fuck. It's like, it's over with. I know it's over with. And he gets to the stall. He goes, hey, who's in there? What are you doing? It's like, don't lie to me. It's like... I'm taking a shit. He goes, what the fuck? And then he goes, what's your name? And I say, Louisa.
Oh, man.
No, so I was like, I try to pull it off. Yeah, like, he ain't gonna know. You know what I'm saying? I got my head down. Like, I'm taking a shit. You know what I'm saying? My hair, you can't see my face. But, yeah, it's obvious that it was like, this nigga's dumb right now. You know what I'm saying? He ain't going nowhere. So he's like, what's your last name, bro? And I was like, all right, man, I'm going to come out. Just don't shoot me. You feel me? And, like, at this point, though, like, I'm laughing now because it's funny. But, like, cops don't give a fuck. This shit was happening then.
Yeah, for sure.
So as soon as I go to open the stall and I peek out, and I'm like, oh, no. Boom. Close that dude. And, like, you ain't got no guns out, man. What the fuck? He was like, we ain't gonna shoot you, just come on. You know what I'm saying? Put it short, so I'm like...
Did you think that you were armed?
At the time, because of the shit that happened. You know what I'm saying? So they gotta take protocol, you know what I'm saying? So, in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, dog, do I really wanna do it all this time? I might have to make these niggas kill me for real. I was really contemplating them making them shoot me before I gave myself up.
Oh.
And, I was like, fuck it, you know what I'm saying? As soon as I opened the stall, the gang get to open that shit up all the way, and they just yanked me.
Wow.
Threw me up against the bathroom, the sink or whatever, losing my shit. I look in the mirror, bro. They got cops over cops with guns and shit drawn or whatever. I'm like, God damn. Like, I thought I'd have killed somebody famous and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I get, they got me cuffed up. They walked me out of the bathroom, bro. That shit was packed. No cops, customers, and workers, bro. I'm looking around all crazy. I looked at my dude. He looked like he about to cry. And I'm like, looking at him like, man, oh, you really got me in some shit. Don't even know it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then that was pretty much it, bro. And sat in the county for a little bit fighting my shit. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't bond out. They got me on $1 million bond.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Some dumb shit. Like, you feel me? Like... I got, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was bigger than what it was, but, like, just, you know what I'm saying? Like, damn, man, I was like, who the fuck? I'm getting out of here. I'm stuck. So my co-defendant bond out, like, 4 months later, and I can't get out. His people got a little bread and shit. So about 2 years go by, finally get ready for trial and a plane out. Got the 7, go up the road. You know what I'm saying? My dude was still fighting his case. I put in a motion to... You know what I'm saying? Get him off the case, basically. You know what I'm saying? So I testified on his behalf. Like, he ain't got nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying? I met some random ass dude.
And you're like, fuck it, let's go hit a lick. And that was it. You know what I'm saying? And then 3 days later, they threw the case out on him. And shit, took care of my kid the whole stretch, man.
That's crazy,
that's
man.
That's my nigga to the death, bro.
So, what'd you do time at? Were you in county the whole time?
I sat in county for like almost 2 years.
Oh, man.
Before I got my time, and then they sent me up to prison down in Florida. And I did my little shit out there.
How was that? Was it easier in prison than like, West County?
For the most part, prison is prison.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I never really did no time up here or else, though. You know what I'm saying? It's not... Kids don't do crime and get in trouble. This is not glorifiable shit.
No, not at all.
But, like, it just depends on the situation. Like, they racist as fuck. You know what I'm saying? Segregated. Like, if you more down south, it's sweeter. Because a lot of institutions are going to go black cops. And then up more in the panhandle shit, it's more white cops and niggas, rednecks, straight rednecks, bro. You know what I'm saying? They got the one institution where they got a jar full of teeth. Gold teeth. All gold teeth.
Wow.
And they hated white people with gold teeth, bro. Like, this shit was folk. Like, they was just, like, backwards, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, the racism, bro. I seen inmates get beat up in handcuffs. You know what I'm saying? Can't do nothing. You hear them screaming. In the background, get out, everybody out. Rushes and us outside. You smell this pepper spray, bro. You can't do nothing about like.
So you got pepper spray?
No, not me. The dude that they beat up in the cuffs.
He got
to a fight on the yard as soon as I got to the institution. And you see him getting carried into the medical. I'm not breathless shit trying to talk. And he all arguing and pissed off and shit. He ain't got no major scuffs or nothing on his body or nothing. Right. You know? And he come in and he talking shit. And next thing you know, they slammed his ass. Boom. Split his head open on the wall. He's leaking. He's like, what the fuck? He trying to, like, you know what I'm saying? Right. Resist in a sense.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, they just keep fucking him up. And they look back. Everybody get out of here. And then they start spraying the pepper spray. They escort us outside. Now you just smell that shit.
Did it stink really bad?
Yeah, that shit's strong.
Made your nose run.
Yeah, that shit fucks you up, bro. I ain't been sprayed, like, directly, though. Like, been locked up, you know what I'm saying? But I've been in situations, you know what I'm saying, in dorms where shit'll pop off where they had no choice but come in, like, 10, 15 deep and start spraying shit.
Oh,
and like,
man.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
I've seen some shit out the road. But for the most part, I just stayed to myself. And, you know.
But I feel like nowadays, since you've been out, man, I mean, how long have I known you now? I met you... Man. I think I met you at the... It was either the
was
first show I did at Eddie's.
I was pretty sure it was at Eddie's. It was at one of the first...
Finally Comfort
I
want to
say first Finding Covers. I came and did the Behind the Scene with Ray. And I had the Trump mask.
Yeah, I think so.
And I was only supposed to do the feature. And then Big Nick was working there that night.
Yeah, and shout out Big Nick.
Shout out my homie there. And I was like, yo, man, because he was always telling me about you when I used to kick it with him. Like, yeah, boy, Slay will be rapping. And he played me some of your shit back then. I'm like, okay, I see you. You know what I'm saying? And then I run into him again. And then I'm like, oh, shit, like, what you doing here? Like, man, I'm only about to do a little song with my dude or whatever, man. Like, this the dude that you know? I'm like, yeah, man, you trying to rap? I'm like, hell yeah, what's up? So I'm about to talk to him, hold on. And that's when he introduced me to you and shit, and then you see it now.
Right, and what's crazy is Nick is actually a really good friend with my older brother. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Swiss Chris, for those who know, you know.
Shout out Swiss Chris.
You know?
Yeah, I remember I met him through Nick, too.
Yeah.
My brother, when we was all working at a spot together. I'm not going to say the job, because I'm not promoting they bitch ass.
Yeah, so we actually known each other probably 3 or 4 years good now, man. And I've actually got to know you, and what's crazy is, you know, even though you did... Do what you did. You went down for it. You seem to be a better man today.
Kids, man. You know, we go through shit in life. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got a history. Everybody got dirt. You know what I'm saying? Like, you wild and you young. You got to do what you got to do as far as survival and shit. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't out there, like, feeding, you know what I'm saying? Nothing like that. Like, I was out there, like, trying to provide for my kid and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so you do have a kid.
I let pussy get in the way on top of it. You know what I'm saying?
How old's your kid?
She'll be, Oh shit, she gonna be mad she see this shit. Oh, she got to be what, 15?
Oh wow, man.
Yeah.
So you have a daughter.
Daughter, little girl. She ain't no little girl no more though.
How's your relationship with her?
I mean, for the most part, you know what I'm saying, we have a relationship. It's not like you know what I'm saying, like
the best, but it's not the worst.
You know right. what I'm saying? Like, it's something.
Yeah, it is like being locked up. Like, I always wrote her letters and shit, but I wasn't always receiving much back.
How old was she when you went down?
Like two and a half.
Oh, okay. So was the baby mom kind of like...
Like, so I thought like she was loyal, you know what I'm saying? And she did me dirty. I wouldn't even locked up a year, you know what I'm saying? And like the whole time, like after I got over the fact that it's nothing with us no more, like it's about my kid.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know, I, you know what I'm saying? I put myself in this situation, but my daughter, you know what I'm saying? I still want to, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying. I'm writing yeah. letters, I'm sending pictures, and you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm reaching out, and she just neglecting me. And every once in a while, I get letters and pictures. And every letter that I sent to my daughter got them, supposedly. And she would just, like, stash them.
Right.
And hide them, you know what I'm saying? So her mom won't take them, you know what I'm saying? Like, my, like, and I've always been part of her life just in that situation. And then I moved up here when I got home. And... it wasn't a situation where I could like stay down there or come up here and bring her with me, you know. And I've been up here, so like we'll talk every now and then. And then like her mom, whatever, you know, saying like we're not the best of friends, but mm-hmm. like we just, she just like always finds an excuse or a way to like keep the communication low.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So like I just feel helpless in a sense sometimes trying to reach out. Like what do I do? You know what I'm saying? And now right. it's like...
especially being locked up, you yeah. know, there's nothing you can really do.
Like, I love my daughter to death. That's my world, man. But there be days, sometimes weeks, we don't talk. You know what I'm saying? And it's not all my fault. You know what I'm saying? I reach out and nobody, you know what I'm saying, lets me talk to her. She's about to be 15.
Wow, okay.
You know, and then what do you do?
Right.
She's going to eventually want to ask me questions. And I'm going to be right there ready with some answers.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, you just got to be honest with her.
It's my world. I love you, Gigi.
I'm actually going through this thing at the moment, you know. My girl and me have been talking about having a kid for probably about a year and a half.
Dude.
And we've been talking about it, man. We just got certain goals and things, you know. We have this apartment at the moment. We're trying to work on getting a house. We really want to get it together before we really try to have one. Man. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And especially having the podcast now, doing music, mm-hmm. doing all the stuff that we do, you know. It's hard to have that extra yeah, time.
For sure.
And when I have a kid, I want to make sure I can be dedicated.
For sure. Like, I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I don't take nothing for having a kid, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I could have waited, I would have. You know what I'm saying? But it happened. You know, and it didn't stop me. It just pushed me to go harder. Like, right. That was my extra motivation when I got hurt. Like, now it's about you. Right. You know? And then,
So, you've definitely lived a hell of a life, man.
I've been through some shit. Some more, some less, you know? But I feel like everything I've been through, I could turn around and put it into a movie that the people
right.
have there's everybody just laughing and shit. Like, I've been through some crazy shit, but it's, like, hilarious. Like, I can Kevin Hart my shit, man, for real. Like,
right.
Been through some funny, fucked up shit.
So, with that being said, where do you want to be within 10 years? And where do you think you will be?
Alive.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I mean that with all kinds of sincerity, you know. But like, other than just alive and breathing, you know, I definitely want to see myself doing in like states, going different states and shit, performing.
Right.
I want to be at least in 10 years across seas performing, like something. You know, I want to have some kind of following by then, and as far as with the music, and. Just like putting that shit out there as best as I can before it's over, you know?
Exactly.
That's my goal for real.
Yeah, I feel that.
Keep pushing this music. Well, if I don't make it, I don't. But I'm going to keep going.
Oh, man. I feel like we're definitely getting there. We've got a lot of stuff bubbling. Mm-hmm. And this death song, man. This death song's fire. And the underground, you know? I heard someone messaged me saying that it sounded like old school Brother Lynch Hung. And I was like, oh, okay, fire, you know. If you know about Brother Lynch.
They some pretty dark guys.
But, you know, I love that song because that was the first one that we really collabed on an original song. Mm-hmm. And I feel like both of my verses are about trying to combat death, trying to help prepare and, like, defend myself from death. And you are kind of like... wallowing the in demon it. Of and it. Well, it's yeah. awesome because it's like two different sides, mm-hmm. and it fits so well.
The concept worked perfect. I like the way this song came out.
Yeah, yeah, man, and I'm really excited for it to drop everywhere. It's like it's really crazy though that I just happened to lose my grandmother a day before the song was the day after the song was supposed to drop. And what's crazy is me and Ricky Hill dropped Nightmares last year on November 1st, and mm-hmm. I lost my grandmother this year on November 1st. And, you know, if you listen to Nightmares by me and Ricky Hill, it's Nightmares about just trauma, going through trauma, and trying to learn how to deal with certain things in life, having mental health issues, anxiety, depression, going through things, having nightmares, waking up with cold sweats, you know?
Yeah.
People who have the traumatic things, and they really... No one's life is easy. You know what I mean? There's everybody. A lot of people going through things. So I think that's why the mental health thing, everybody can relate to in some way. No matter if you were born rich or if you were born poor, whatever your life was, everybody has had some kind of crazy trouble within their life. You know what I mean? And it's just up to us on how we control it and try to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Definitely, man. Since everybody got their own struggles.
Right.
You know? Like, I've grown up. Fucking change the way I think about a lot of things by seeing shit with my own eyes.
Right.
You know? Become more passive growing up.
Exactly. Over the
years. And more, I guess, like... not concerned, but, like, just more compassionate and shit for shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I at the end of the day, like, I don't give a fuck. But I do. You know what I mean? Like, because yeah. at the end of the day, like, what can you do but make sure that you and yours is...
Taking care
of the day.
Exactly.
Like, we can all want to change the fucking world, but it's been proven numerous times that, like, people aren't really gonna actually stand up in the masses, though. Like, I personally feel like if this fucking world was to go to shit, or our country, or whatever, like, people are not gonna fight for freedom and all that shit. Like,
right.
For real. I'm going to give you a prime example. This is like a joke. Look at the shit with the whole Area 51 thing.
Exactly.
Like, you think, like, come on, man. Like, if it was for
people
real.
People got carried away with it.
Yeah, if it was a for real thing, like, we about to run up on the fucking, you know what I'm saying, the people that's trying to hold us back. Nobody's going to really be about it.
No.
Like, in the masses, there's going to be a chosen few that's going to die for speaking. And like, oh, everybody's going to speak about it, but what are you going to do about it now?
Yeah.
He fought for a cause. Are you going to still do it until something changes? No.
That's true. Yeah. That's true, true. So, do you have anything you want to shout out, man? I know we were talking about the song. Do you want to put your social media out there again so the people yeah. have it for the wrap-up? Yeah,
Trav Jams with a Z on all social medias. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, Spotify, YouTube, Tidal. All that good shit. I'm finally putting moves together and trying to get my name out there. The trash is coming.
The trash is
it
coming.
It doesn't have to get taken out on Thursdays road. No more. It's coming. 7 days a week. Follow them shits. Subscribe. Shout out. Us versus them.
Shout out Ohio. Sure.
Ohio.
Over here is original.
That part of it.
That part.
Shout out all the artists that's doing shit, man. Shout out my mom. I love you. My daughter. And all my haters and people that don't like me for whatever reason. My music is different. It's amazing. And a lot of y'all hate it for the wrong reasons.
A lot of people love it, too.
That is the bigger part about it. I get more hate from artists.
Yeah, you'll have that.
You know, but yeah.
But this is our first episode, man. Thank
dope.
You for being a part of it. You're my guy. Trap Jams with a capital Z.
No, all caps. Jams, all caps,
caps jams,
y'all.
All caps, man. Just make sure you capitalize the
oh,
Z.
Yeah. Sadgasm, 12/10/2019. That's my next single. How's out now on all major plats. What's up? Death. Death.
Just Death dropped is going to be everywhere.
That shit's fire. It's fuck. Yeah, go check the new shits out. Slego's got a new album coming out.
Shout out to our sponsor, Orocho Firearms. Check them out on social media at Orocho Firearms on Instagram. You can find them on Facebook. You can find them for your pistol training needs, for your CCW needs, any questions or concerns on how to have a license, dealing with a firearm. contact them. Shout out to my guy Kevin, who decided to sponsor the podcast. All right, I think that's it, Trey.
Pretty much.
Is there anything else?
Promote the your album coming out
next year. Oh, okay.
Gotta get that out too, man.
Yeah, shout out to Cleveland and Beyond, man. Shout out to Cleveland and Beyond, man. Shout out to everyone who's a part of that. It's coming out in January 17th. First episode in the bag, man. We got it. Hey,
brought the trash here first, y'all.
Over here, it's original, us versus them. We out.
Sadgasm 12, 10, 19.